turning your Bibles to John chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and said in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, at your John chapter 1, let's read there. I'll be reading the first five verses, and then we'll turn to John chapter 3. And the reason why I'm doing this is because this sets the context for our discussion today on what I'll be teaching about, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So now in John chapter 3, so there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was perplexed, so he said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son, name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. So the title of my sermon is The Future is Coming, but John 3:5 still matters. We still have a responsibility to God, no matter what our future is before us. Our context needs to have God as the foundation. So with that, I just want to say good morning, and I'm glad that the elders let me come up here because I find it's a privilege to come up here and teach the Word of God. It's something I've desired to do for quite some time because I haven't done it since we stopped our building, since Lilburn, which was, and that was back in October or August of 2018. But I do this because I love you all, and you're my brethren, and I'm glad to see you because I haven't seen you, even though I know you've been here, because I've been coming to the evening service with my family. But I come up here before you to teach because I figure if I'm going to do something important in my life, it should be that I put God first and not myself first, right? So hopefully I'm doing that because this is important for everybody to know. So as I've done my research and reading and all that, and I've come to the conclusion that there's nothing more important in my life than getting to know our God, and I hope I can be an encouragement to you today. So when we read our Bibles, we find God. In fact, the only way we can get to know God is through our Bibles. What do we learn in our Bibles? Well, we learn, first off, if we start in the beginning, that God created us and God provided for us. He gave us an environment where we could live without sin. And yet, what happened? As the story goes, we left God. And this is because of a suggestion from a serpent of all things, right? How weird is that? But the serpent said to Eve, he said, God is a liar. He just doesn't want you to be like him. That's why you can't eat of that tree. And what was the tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So the truth of the matter is, we need to, today, we need to endure what we got ourselves into, all right? We need to persevere. Our eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't think that Adam and Eve fully contemplated or understood what that was going to do. Today, as we live our lives, we see the consequences of ignoring God, what that has done to us, because look at where we are. Granted, we're under the protection of God because God takes care of his saints or brethren, right? But what about those who don't, who aren't under his protection? Regardless, we need to persevere. And because of God's grace and mercy, we are allowed to persevere, and it's just for all of our benefits. So now we have to live outside of the presence of God for the reason that we have sin. We have to provide for ourselves, and today it has become we need to find God though he is not far from us. But it is that most people are more content with living outside of what God has given than are living with God. And I just think it's because they don't understand. Excuse me. So, as you well know, our fellowship with God and each other is based on a special relationship, and that relationship is the one we share with God through his word. God's word has always been around for us to know who he is. It's just that we haven't always known who he is. I am a good example of that. I was born without the knowledge of God in my life. Those of you who were born with the knowledge of God, that's a fantastic thing. So our relationship that we have with God and with each other is based on a special relationship. And our fellowship is within the one purpose of living our lives as God would have us to live. We are to grow into being united in the mind and the body of Christ. Brethren, today our main purpose of coming together is to join with the Lord. You know, Jesus says that for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We are in communion with our Lord, and we do several things today to make sure that we make that proclamation. And one of them is the partaking of the Lord's Supper, which we will do later. So We who have read the Word of God, we have heard it. We who have come together have at the very least an interest in the things of God, and we are able to grow. It's not that we may be perfect in knowledge, it's just that maybe we're just learning about how our growth needs to keep going. And so that we can come to the, grow to the full knowledge of the gospel of what Jesus came to give us. And so that's an important aspect of us coming together. So, we who have come together and believed it, and have believed Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we have obeyed our Lord. We have repented and died to sin. We have been buried with Christ in baptism. And our meeting together is a culmination of our devotion to God. So we are able to learn so much that is good when we pay attention to what we know God has said. What God has given to us is amazing when you think about it, because it separates light and darkness. And we can tell who's in the light and who's in the dark sometimes. And that's important, that we need to be in the light. So when we come together, we are edified. And this should be our purpose for edification, right? So it's good to see brethren, and especially all of you, that I haven't seen for a while. So our purpose for assembling is the immediate gratification we get when we come together. For example, I get to see others who are like me, who at the very least believe in God, and that's comforting to know. I mean, how many times you go around the world wishing that you saw somebody that familiar face that thought the same things that you thought? I know when I work, it's not often that I see a brother that's in the hospital that needs to be taken care of. There's been a few times, but not often. And so it's, you know, you're on your own. Spiritually speaking, you're on your own. But being here is of great edification, because we are together as united in brethren, united in the Word of Christ. So when we come together to share. We come together to bless each other with spiritual blessings that are found only in our God. That is our fellowship, because we are of the same mind. Now, we live within the kingdom of God, and we know we are protected by God because we read the scriptures. And the Bibles, and when we read our Bibles to understand the basics of what Jesus has given to us. So that's important. If we don't understand the basics, how are we going to grow? So we are without excuse if we do not follow the Word of God. The Word of God has always been around. So let's talk a little bit about John 3:5. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus gave us a king in himself. And as any good king would do, he provides for us. He provides for his people. And that's us. So if you have faith in this, in what Jesus has said, your faith will not fail. I'm convinced of it. But your faith has to be built on the Word of God, not built on half-truths. So you need to know what the truth of God really says. So this is, in fact, the message that Jesus came to give to everybody. Not just one person. It just so happened that the Pharisee was there asking Jesus. And that was a good thing, because he was the leader of the Jews, who thought one way about the king, who thought one way about the Christ. But Jesus told them, and the Pharisee knew who the Christ was. And he knew that Jesus Christ was from God. And Jesus Christ told him that he needs to be born of water and the Spirit. So, no matter who we are then, or what our persuasion is in life, we all have the ability to make God's plan of salvation first in our lives. But for us to have this, the context of our lives, as I've said, and as I will repeat, needs to have God first. Only then will we be living as God desires us to live. So today, most of the world lives far away from what Jesus has given to us. They live far away from our Lord and Savior, and they refuse to see who God is. Lately, I've had a lot of time to do some reading, and I do some writing as well. And I've learned some new things about how our world is progressing or regressing. It's progressing in the fact of technology, but it's regressing in the fact that people ignore God even more because of the technology. We can talk about that as an aside, but I'm just going to present that because I think it's true. In the time that I've had, I've spent some time writing, and I've written a book called Coming Back to the Kingdom of God, which will be published in a couple months, so you can read it, I hope. But some books I have read have to do with God, of course, God's Word. Another book has to do with multiple sclerosis. That's become very important to me, as I have multiple sclerosis. And I'm also reading books dealing with the future. One of the books that I'm reading is The Future is Coming Faster Than You Think. And I'm not going to make that book a topic of our discussion today, but some of the things that they talk about and that have come to fruition are amazing, even right now. So with that being said, as we all know, there are a lot of books we can read and things we can do in this life. But as you may also know, being a baptized believer in our Lord, no matter what we do, we need to do all things in accordance with God. Colossians 3:17 tells us that. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This message is for the whole world, but they will not receive it. And this is for the purpose that they don't believe. But you believe, and that means something. And I'm glad you do. And I hope that what I'm saying up here is encouraging to you. And you find it, you know, profitable. And I really appreciate what Bob said in his prayer and his discussion up here in his announcements about being profitable, because that's what we all need to be. We all need to be profitable servants. So, with that being said, we all have in this auditorium the keys to the kingdom. Jesus Christ has given them to us. The Apostle Paul tells us, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that will he also reap." In other words, if you do not care to be a part of the body of Christ, you will inherit corruption. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 15:50 tells us, "Brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." So there is, by association, a reference to our need to be born to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is not of the world, it's of God. It's the same Spirit that was before sin, right? If we have any hope of going to God, being with Him in the end, we have to become dead to sin. We have to clothe ourselves with Christ. So we need to renew our minds to God. So our goal in this life, as I said, needs to be renew our minds to our Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Romans 12:2. This is not something I made up. Jesus has made it this clear on more than one occasion. If you look in Matthew 10:38 and John 14:15, Jesus clearly states, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the book of Acts, the works of the apostles, establishes these very works. They loved Jesus, and they did his commandments, even to the point of death. So the apostles took the message Jesus gave to them, as recorded in Matthew 28:18-20, and told the world about Jesus. There must be something to this message, because it has been around for longer than 2,000 years. Consider what Gamaliel said in Acts 5:34. If you'd like to, you can turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 34. And Gamaliel's advice is, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. That is the apostles. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." But people fight against God all the time, right? But why? People are more concerned with their perspective in life and not what God has given to us. Excuse me. I know that the perspective in life has become more important, because when you're raised outside of the Church of Christ, when you're raised outside of knowing who God is, your perspective is more concerned with how am I going to make it in this world? What fun can I have? What kinds of things can I do? Instead of being raised by parents who actually know the word of truth, who will raise their children to understand who God is in their life, and to have some kind of importance. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and say that children who are raised in the church are always going to be obedient. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that we need to focus on giving our kids a shot, because they're not going to have a shot, more than likely, if you don't teach them, if you don't teach them correctly. So the world doesn't care about God. The world likes to live in darkness. The world likes to progress to our future. So people ignore God for their own purposes, which are mostly selfish endeavors. Ignorant of God, and mostly they do not care. So people need to change. But again, I tell you, people just don't believe that this is true. And I'm glad that we're here together, because I know that you all care. So when you come up to somebody and start talking to them about the Word of God, most of the time they will not listen, or they will say, "That's only your opinion." And it's funny. How is it my opinion when we have an entire world who has known about Jesus Christ? Consider Israel and their existence. Consider the prophets who have known about Jesus. Consider the Bible, that is the most translated book in the world. You can verify this by looking it up. So, because of our walking away from the commandment of God in the Garden of Eden, we need to provide for ourselves, and we need to keep our provision within the context of God. And if you do not know anything about living life as we have and do, the way we live takes us away from our God. We have to be part of the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We cannot live our lives in accordance with our desires and live as God wants us to live, unless those desires happen to be concurrent with what God wants us to do. So, as time goes on, the population just keeps getting more and more sinful. The population loses sight of God because of the things of this life that take our attention and mold our beliefs. What things, you might ask? I mean, you can just think of a lot of things, but the Bible talks about evil speaking. It talks about hypocrisy, lying, or some new invention even. When we create, we tend to forget the Creator. We forget to think, to remember, we're in subjection, that we actually have an accounting to give to God. So we tend towards those things that do not endear us to God. And Romans 1 tells us about these things. We're warned about them. So if you read about Jesus and who he is, this will help you. But if you don't read about our Lord, about our God, you're going to be without hope. So when I was younger, once I decided to take the time to learn about God, my life changed. I was 25, I think. It took me 3 months, but I finally put on our Lord in baptism. I finally was clothed with Christ. I died to sin, even though I had no idea what that meant. I didn't entirely know what that meant, but I kept on living in accordance with what the Scriptures said so that I could live within the Spirit God wants us to live. And that's what we all need to do. So the thing that has been most difficult for me in my life when I was younger, and it is with everybody, I think, is renewing our mind to God, being born of the Spirit that God wants us to have. That is the foremost important aspect of our lives, is that we need to have the Spirit. So being of water is the easy part, if I tell you, but it will mean nothing if you do not have the Spirit of God within you. So what do you think Jesus meant when he said being born of water and the Spirit? So I grew out of the life I had been corrupted by, and I began to dedicate myself to God. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In another place it is written, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But those who did not obey." So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Hebrews 3:18-1. So if you do not obey, you do not believe. So dedicating our lives to God is a process. It's about coming into the light. It's about going away from darkness. Today, as we acknowledge our God, you just do not all of a sudden put away all the sin you were accustomed to. And because it's a process, we're going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect, but we're perfected in Jesus Christ our Lord. So for me and you to be successful as a follower of God, we need to put our lives with the expectant hope of being with God. So what's the ending of the story? No matter how fast the future is coming or what fancy things are coming in the future, what invention comes next, no matter what illness besets you, no matter where we are in this life, as long as we have the ability within us, we need to remember that God is first. No matter what you have done in this life, you need to put God first. No matter what you are doing in this life, put God first. The only way you will believe that what I'm telling you is true is by putting God first. Read your Bible. So I hope this lesson has been encouraging for you. And get your songbooks out. All I want you to take away from this is to remember every day to put God first.